Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Actually, that's a joke. This is not the Nerdist Podcast. But like the Nerdist Podcast, it begins with me popping on to give you an important advertising message. I just launched about 3 hours ago my Kickstarter campaign. By the way, this is Luke Ski. Hi, I have a Kickstarter campaign. The point of the Kickstarter campaign is to raise the money I need to purchase the audio video equipment I have always wanted so that I have my own audio video concert rig to take around with me to conventions and stuff so that I can start doing video shows just like Devo Spice and the Gossicles and Insane Ian and MC Lars, etc. So I just launched this thing about 3 hours ago, and within the first 3 hours, I need to raise $1,750. Within the first 3 hours, I'm already up to 75%, of my goal that has been pledged by 17 different backers. So, rather than go into detail on it, I've made a really cool video that you can watch at my Kickstarter page. It's also on YouTube that'll let you know what the whole deal is and what nifty, unique, awesome prizes you can get for pledging various amounts. So go to Luke Ski's AV Concert Rig, go to Kickstarter.com and then do a search for Luke Ski's AV Concert Rig. Kickstarter.com, search for Luke Ski's AV Concert Rig. Or, of course, you can go to my Facebook, Twitter, website, all the usual places that I'm plugging things like crazy, and I'll have the links up there. But, I'm shocked that I've already gotten 75% of the way to my goal. And it's a 30-day Kickstarter. So I may have to come up with some new goals and loftier things to raise more money. I don't know. I'll have to figure that out later. For now, I just want to concentrate on hitting the first goal of $1,750. There's all kinds of nifty things. I'm rambling at this point. The point is, go to Kickstarter.com. Do a search for Luke Ski's AV Concert Rig. Watch the video, and if you can afford it, please pledge something. It'll, help out. It's me trying to do a better show at more cons for you, the con-going Luke Ski concert-watching audience. So anything you can do to help would greatly be appreciated. So I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let the show start. So, yeah. Enjoy your burrito!
Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Backwards words say to you die. Again go I there, shit-ho.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Well, hi there. My name is Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
You know it, buddy.
This is episode number
62
on April 18th, 2012.
Yes. And we're a week
and
late.
It's Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. It's a podcast.
Yes. going by the having an episode every other week, we missed a week because we all were busy, but, that's the way it goes sometimes.
There's a baby.
Yes.
It's not like I didn't see you.
Yes. I've been over here at least once a week, if not more.
Yes.
So what have you been up to, Carrie?
I've been taking care of a baby. My baby's really smart. I'll get back to that. I also finished watching 30 Rock.
Cool.
I went from having seen the first 5 episodes to having seen all 5.5 seasons in less than a month. And I like it so much that I named my breasts after it.
Really?
Yes. The left one is Liz and the right one is Jack. So if
you weren't going to go with Grizz and .com?
So if Josh hands me the baby, he asks me, Liz or Jack?
So is Liz the left one?
Yes, that's what I just said.
Oh, okay.
And Jack is the right one. So, and if you watch the show, that's funny because Liz is the left-wing character and Jack is the right-wing character. But I thought it was, you know, apropos that I would finally have names for my breasts after all these years. So, been taking care of a baby, taking care of a baby, taking care of a baby, taking care of a baby. He's super smart. He's 7 weeks old today. He's touching things. He touched the cats. He touches toys. He touches books and pages. He's become really, really interested in books. And, you know, I've found that sometimes when I think he's hungry, he's actually just bored, and I can pull out a Dr. Seuss book and entertain him for, you know, 60 pages. He freaking loves the Sneetches and Other Stories book that we have. What else does he do? He like, tries to use his tongue when he gurgles and babbles. So he's already trying to make consonants. He's failing, but he's trying. And he lifts his butt up some of the time when we're changing his diaper, you know, like he's helping us. You know, and he smiles. He kind of giggles. He doesn't really giggle and smile at the same time, though, unless he's asleep. But he giggles without smiles, and he smiles without giggles. And he's getting really big. He's at least 12 pounds now, and outgrown all of his newborn-sized outfits and 0 to 3-month-sized outfits, and starting to outgrow some of his 3 to 6-month-sized outfits. And Willow just crawled up on and is enjoying Luke's lap right now.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I think this is a first. I think this is the first time Willow has just kind of said, like, well, I'm going to crawl on you and sit on you, and this is where I am now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's surprising. She does that to a lot of people. I think she's probably been on Ken's lap before, for instance, and Ken's not a cat person. And now she's
nudging the hand that is holding the recording device, because apparently one hand petting her is insufficient.
Yes.
So, stop doing other things with that hand. You could be petting me, but instead you're holding a device. Damn you.
Just don't thrust it at her.
I won't.
You and me took Alex with us to Loyola so I could go to my postpartum appointment and ask about my vagina. And and then we went to Panda Express and Babies R Us with the baby. And the whole adventure took like 5 hours because we had a baby with us. But it was good to get out of the house. And technically your function was to stand in for the fact that I don't have a stroller that's appropriate for my baby. I have a stroller that's great for 6-month-olds, but I have a 7-week-old who doesn't even hold his head up, much less sit upright. So, although he can hold his head up for pretty long, but not reliably, not all the time. So actually I went to 3 restaurants in 6 days, because on Easter Sunday, Josh and I went to a sushi restaurant, and so I had my first experience nursing in public at a sushi restaurant. I'd technically nursed in public a couple other times, but they were just different, and I'm not going to bother to explain why, because it's boring. And then the second time I nursed in public was in, like, the Loyola waiting room, and the third time was at Panda Express. And then Josh and I took the baby with us to the soup and salad bar called Sweet Tomatoes. But Alex slept in his car seat the entire time, so I didn't have to nurse him there. Which is good, because it was kind of cramped in the booth. It would have been hard. I've been going to choir. I went to I went to the Good Friday. I went to two rehearsals at my choir on a Thursday night, and then I went to the Good Friday service on a Friday night. But I had to take and pump breast milk while I was there, and then I ended up being late for the cantata that I was in. Not only late for the start of the service, but I walked in during the cantata, although, you know, the altos hadn't started singing yet. But I had to, like, stand in the back instead of sitting in my normal place because I was too late. And if there's any service that I don't want to be, you know, be distracting Party. People during, it's the solemn Good Friday service, also known as the Jesus funeral, or that's what I call it. So, but it was still nice to sing again. Yes, we're switching from Jack to Liz now. And then I guess the most exciting thing I did was I let Daddy babysit while I went to the city of Chicago, and actual first time in the city since becoming a mom, and went to see the Nerdist podcast live with Ken and Luke. And I had to pump breast milk in the car before... Hey, what's wrong? What'd you make that face for?
It's okay.
There. What? He's just mad because I just washed it off with a cold washcloth before giving it to him, and he's like, it's cold! I think that's what it is. Anyways, so I had to pump breast milk in the car behind a hoodie hider on Belmont Avenue. Hooter Hider. And that wasn't very successful because it was getting too dark and I couldn't see. And it doesn't really work very well when you can't see. And then I walked in just as the show was starting and Luke had managed to save us some seats, which was surprising since it was standing room only. How did you do that? Did you have to explain to anybody?
Just by sheer luck, nobody had sat there. I think maybe because it was next to the sound booth, maybe people thought that people weren't supposed to be sitting there.
Oh.
I mean, that's just a theory. Or maybe it's... I suspect that the open space directly in front of us was there for the purpose of, you know, letting handicapped people have a place to park their wheelchairs, but...
No, handicapped people were there.
Yeah, so I kind of sat down and put my... I had my book bag on me because I had things in it that I was hoping to show the guys after the show. So I just kind of reserved enough room there. I mean, at least five people could have sat there, but I just took up enough space for three. And when people came by asking, like, oh, is there room here? I'm like, well, I'm saving seats for two other people. So on the other side of that, you can sit down. But then nobody wanted to sit down over there.
Because it would have been an obstructed view with the soundboard.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the thing that was annoying was that, you know, my original plan a long time ago was that I was going to show up super insanely early so that I could, you know, be first in line and get super good tickets. And then when you told me about those seats you were looking for, I'm like, all right, I'll show up super early so I can make sure I get those specific seats that, you know, Carrie wants to get.
Mm-hmm.
And then just everything that went down.
I didn't remember that it was in the very back. I thought it was in the middle somewhere.
Yeah. So... So basically everything that happened, you know, earlier that day kept me from leaving the house earlier, you know, than I wanted to. So by the time I got there, the line...
Plus you found out there was like a Nerdist thingy or a thingy that probably would prevent you from getting to talk to him anyway.
Yeah, I was the part of the idea of me showing up super early was hoping that, like, you know, Chris and the guys would show up in front of the theater, you know, like, much earlier in the day, and then I could, like, you know, run into them on the street while I was waiting in line and get a chance to talk to them some more. But then I found out that at C2E2, Chris was hosting a Nerdist podcast, or Nerdist Industries panel at C2E2 from, like, 4:15 to 5:15. So that kind of, you know, made me say, oh, well, then they're not going to show up until at least 6. So there wasn't much point in showing up earlier than that for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but still, I was hoping to show up, you know, super crazy early, and then I ended up getting there, you know, after, like, they started letting people in. The line was literally around the block, and when I had...
It was sold out, apparently.
Yeah, and I had Sarah's camera on me because I wanted to take a picture with them. And then, you know, once I got up just to the point where I'm about to hand somebody my ticket so I can go inside, I hear somebody say, "We gotta look in your bag, no cameras." You know, and I'm like, no cameras? And I just want to, it's one of those situations where I just want to say, you know, to the people running there, are you fucking shitting me? Not only is it 2012, but this is the Nerdist podcast live.
Literally every person in that building had a camera in their pocket
on their phone. Yeah. It's like you're fucking shitting me. It's so stupid. So I basically had to bail on the line and walk back to Sarah's car. And,
that's when me and Kent passed you and we're like, hey, Luke.
Yeah, so not only did I take out the camera, I took out any other thing that could be construed or misconstrued as a recording device and out of that bag because I didn't want to deal with people being assholes. And then when I got up there to get in again, the line was gone. So it's like, there's probably no chance I'm going to get the seats I'm looking for. And then they looked in my bag and they opened it. And inside the bag was the Skeksis puppet from Skeksis Back.
Uh-huh.
And I think my notebook and the Nerdist book and Nerdist CDs, I wanted him autographed. And they just kind of gave it a quick cursory glance. And kind of, I think they moved a couple things around to look in it a little bit. And they're like, okay, go in. And I'm just thinking to myself, so if I would have just stuffed the camera inside the Skeksis puppet, they wouldn't have given a fuck.
They were saying, you know, no food, too.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, Atkins snacks in my pocket that I was willing to defend with my life. But they didn't even, not in my pocket, in my purse, but they didn't even notice. They only noticed my glucometer, and they said, that's not a camera, is it? And I said, no, it's a glucometer. And they didn't even notice that I had food. So, you know, not exactly a thorough check.
Yeah, so...
You could have easily got your camera in.
But yeah, but like by some miraculous thing, I was like, holy crap, those are the seats she's talking about, and nobody's sitting in them. I will snag those seats. So, anyway, you guys walked in literally just after the show started.
It was just as the show started. We just couldn't find you immediately.
Yeah. So, but the show went great. And I wanted to make sure I worked in here. Remember, I don't know if it was the previous episode specifically, I think it may have been, where I was talking about that whole concept of people getting pushed in the pool.
Yeah, it was the previous episode.
Yeah, and like how that was a weird thing that nobody had ever really brought up.
Yeah.
Jonah Ray, in his stand-up piece, has a bit all about that. I'm like, see?
I turned around and looked at you. And then I said something to Ken, because I was wondering if Ken remembered you saying that in the podcast.
So, you know, I'm assuming at some point Jonah Ray will be releasing an album that has that bit on it, or an, you know, download album
of
his stand-up.
So,
but the show was really awesome.
Yeah, we were sitting in back, but it's not that big, so we could see pretty well. And Chris Hardwick, Matt Myra, Jonah Ray, and then...
Allison Hayslip.
Halfway through. Who is she?
She is, I believe, one of the hosts of Attack of the Show and some other stuff on G4, if I remember correctly. She's been a guest on Nerdist before.
Because Ken and I were just like, who? Okay, whatever.
Yeah, she was at C2E2 as part of the whole, you know, thing there. So
she was funny. And then afterwards, you were staying to meet them, and I was like, well, I've got, you know, boobies full of milk, and I need to get out of here and go pump breast milk and then go home to my baby, who was apparently already asleep by then, according to Daddy. And so you got in line, but then since you were sitting at back, turns out you were able to get second in line.
Yeah,
I could have totally stayed for that.
Yeah, some other people kind of, you know, I'm not sure what happened, but I think they kind of were milling around upstairs, and then they were told, oh, no, you have to go be in the line. And then, so they got kind of glommed on to the beginning of the line, so I technically was about, I don't know, fifth or sixth in line. But still, having done, you know, meet and greets in the past at Weird Al shows, it's like me and Steph always had this system of like, okay, well, you know, under normal circumstances at a Weird Al show, what Steph and I and our, you know, whatever group of people we were with would do is kind of intentionally hang to the back of the meet and greet line, because if you're like the last person in the line, you could kind of get a little bit more time, especially since Al, you know, knows us.
Why didn't you do that?
because I was just kind of looking. It's just kind of like knowing that, you know, this is a situation where probably literally everybody or a gigantic percentage of the people who are in that crowd are interested in getting in line to meet him. So I'm like, hanging to the back means that I'm not going to see them for 2.5 hours or something crazy like that. So in this case, it's better to be at the front of the line so that I can make sure I see them and say hi. And, you know, it's kind of like in my head, I was trying to figure out, okay, well, what things do I want to, you know,
say or do or ask
or whatever. And there was a guy there and like, if you want autograph, you know, if you want autographs, have whatever you're autographing out so that they can sign it right away. So the staff there was definitely of the mindset of getting people
out of there. Yeah. Which they had a show in Iowa City the next night, so.
Yeah. And they had a show in Madison the night before at the Majestic, which I wish I could have been to. I put it on my Google calendar, but,
well,
you know.
I look forward to listening to it because apparently Matt Myra is so drunk during it that he doesn't remember it.
Yeah. I have to kind of assume that John Kovalik was in the audience, but anyway. So we have to kind of step back before I talk about the after the show thing, because during the show they took Quements from the audience.
Yes.
So I got in the one of the two Quements lines, so I got to get up and make Quements, which was cool.
So if you listen to the Nerdist, you'll hear that eventually. But yeah, it's so funny because he's so nervous.
Well, you know, I'm still a fan of people.
It's so cute.
And that's what Sarah said about me when we went to meet Al at that show in wherever that was, St. Charles.
Well, that's exactly how Sarah was when she first met you. So.
Yes. And
she was shaking.
That's the way you were when you met me. But
I wasn't shaking.
But now you both just regard me as an annoying pain in the ass.
She was shaking. I was there when she met you. I may have been nervous, but I'm pretty darn sure I wasn't shaking.
But anyway, so I doubt. I don't know. The point is, once the Chicago Live episode gets posted, I will let people here on the podcast know so they can go listen to it, and I'll tell them, like, oh, it's the part with me starts at, you know, 45:27 or whatever it is. You know, it'll be longer than that.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. So I got
so nervous.
Chris noticed my Paul and Storm T-shirt, and I told him about how I started a diet after listening to that one podcast with that guy named Tim, whose last name I can't remember, who wrote the book about dieting and stuff, and that I've lost 30 pounds. And then I made a reference to an earlier podcast where they had made up this running gag about a baby named Leo Murray, who was some kind of Hollywood hotshot, you know, tough guy, that I really love the whole concept of the thing. So I suggested that they since they have connections with Jim Henson Productions, to do like a show for the Nerdist Podcast Network with Leo Murray. So it's like, Leo Murray, you know.
If you don't go listen to it, now you know the general context. Yeah. I tried to get him to promote the Fump.
Well, that's the thing.
Because I'm like, a million people listen to the Nerdist podcast. A million.
Well, yeah, I realize that, but here's the thing. I've been doing cons for so long now that, like, I remember back in the day, I'd go to, like, Wizard World Chicago, and Kevin Smith would be there doing a big talk, and then people would get in line and ask questions, and then there would be some guy like, you know, well, me and my friends made a movie, and blah, 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 and it's like, he's just there to try to, you know, get Kevin Smith to, you know.
But the Fump isn't yours, the Fump is a conglomerate.
Well, still, but like, every time I see that situation where somebody at a live event, you know, gets on the mic to supposedly ask a question, but then it isn't really a question, it's just them trying to shill their product. You know, the whole crowd is always like, oh God, another one of these people. And a couple people did do that, and I don't know, they were supportive of it. Yeah, I suppose, but I guess in my mind, my heart and mind hopes that someday either myself or somebody else involved with the Fump will become significant enough that we'll actually get to be, you know, on the Nerdist podcast or mentioned on the Nerdist podcast, like, in a more for real, legitimate way than trying to, you know, squeeze a plug in, during a live hostful, you know? So, I don't know. I just kind of feel like...
Well,
next Nerdist podcast,
I'll do it then.
Okay.
I'm shameless.
Okay, I mean, but that's the other thing. So, anyway, So fast forward to the end of the thing, you know, like I said, waiting in line to meet them. So I got to meet them really quick, and, you know, it was funny because it was all four of them lined up in a row, like, starting with Allison Hayslip, and I felt bad because, like, I don't know enough about you to kind of care that you're here. I mean, you're a nice person who does awesome things,
she
but,
probably got that
you know,
a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, G4 has tons of fans, so I'm sure she got plenty of people who are happy to see her, and,
oh,
you know.
Oh, she on G4?
That's what I said before. She's one of the hosts of G4's Attack of the Show and does a bunch of other stuff, and...
I guess I wasn't listening.
Yes. So yeah, she's a TV personality. So, you know, so basically I pulled out the Chamberlain puppet, and I showed them, and Jonah Ray was like, you know, oh, it's Gexy's back, and then he kind of did like a quick, not literally like moving his head to double take, but he was kind of like, oh, Skeksy's back. Oh, hey, that's you. You're the he said, you're the great Luke Ski. And then he paused and he goes, Sky? And I'm like, no, it's Luke Ski. You got it right. He's like, okay, cool. And, you know, he said like, oh, yeah, I looked on your YouTube page and watched all your other videos there. Man, that stuff was really funny. So it's like, cool. Jonah Ray actually watched, you know, I'm assuming Marvel Poppins and other things.
Alex is apparently watching you intently.
Hi, Alex. What's up, buddy? So, you know, and
yeah,
then I met...
Yeah, he talks fast.
And then I mentioned to Jonah Ray that I had sent him a bunch of CDs for Jonah Radio, his forthcoming music podcast. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got them. They're all in a big box waiting for me back at, you know, back at home. So it's cool to know. I mean, I'm assuming the Jonah Radio podcast is going to be more about, you know, serious music, you know,
right.
that he happens to like, because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yes.
So when I sent him my stuff, I'm like, yeah, I realize this isn't probably what you're going for with your show, but I felt like sending it to you anyway since you dug Skeksis back. So knowing that Jonah Ray likes my stuff, even, you know, there's a decent chance he might want to play something of mine on his show, which would be particularly nifty. So, you know, time will tell. So even if he never plays me, at least I know he, you know, knows who I am and likes what I've done, so. Hey, buddy. Now Alex is sitting up and looking at me on Mama's lap.
Well, he's sitting up supported, of
yes.
course.
So then, you know, I kind of shook, you know, Jonah's hand and Matt's hand, and I got over to Chris, and I showed him, like, oh, hey. And because I felt bad because Carrie wasn't there, I wanted to, you know, get something autographed for her, so I had him autograph my copy of the Nerdist book for her. And
hey,
then
you said it was my copy.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that I had him autograph my copy for her so that I could give that copy to you so that you could own your own autographed copy.
And he signed it, enjoy your baby burrito.
Yes.
Which, if you know anything about babies, is funnier because if you swaddle a baby, it's also known as a baby burrito.
So yeah, and then he wrote Bringing Skeksis Back on the cover of my I have the book on CD version of the audiobook. So yeah, and so I kind of, you know, I kind of hit that note. I got the autograph, and then I asked Chris, you know, just really quick before he left, you know, hey, what are the chances of trying to book Hard and Firm for a for, you know, to perform at a sci-fi convention? Is that, you know, is that possible? And if so, who would I contact? And he said that Mike Furman just had a baby, so he didn't think that Mike
probably
Furman...
Probably his wife or girlfriend just
well,
had a baby.
Well, you know what I mean. that some woman involved in Mike Furman's life, you know, has given birth to a child that he was the father of. There, does that make you happy now, Carrie? Because, you know... So,
did I just copy your laugh?
Maybe.
I just did a laugh foreshadow.
And Willow finally got off my lap. So, anyway.
And now you have white fur all over your black jeans.
Yes. So, so basically, Chris kind of said that he didn't think Furman was going to be, you know, going out and about anytime in the near future to, you know, do a lot of touring or shows. So, you know, and Chris didn't volunteer information about booking himself, but I kind of... at this point assume that, you know,
he wasn't interested.
That basically it was kind of his nice way of saying that it probably, you know, wouldn't work out or happen or whatever. So I don't know.
I don't think he really performs as a comedy musician without Mike.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even not performing as a comedy musician, if he just did stand-up, I think getting him as a media guest of honor at MarsCon would be super epic. But
there goes the giant head. Whoa!
Anyway, that's you know, for the future. The one thing I didn't do that I wanted to, you know, that I've chickened out on because of the whole, for fear of the staff deciding to try to confiscate my phone because it's a camera thing, and also because of the Big Rush thing, and also because I wanted to see if I could film Chris and the guys, like, you know, making some kind of comments about me for a few seconds on my phone so that I could edit it into the new intro for the Luke Ski Live concerts to go along with the clips of Dr. Demento and Weird Al and stuff.
That's that rattle.
So, this one?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not the end of the world or anything. I was really looking forward to hoping to make that a reality, but, you know, once the situation presented itself, it's like, no, I'm not going to really be able to pull this off.
Ooh.
So, I don't know.
Well,
but anyway.
Meanwhile, I was pumping breast milk in a Subway restroom nearby, very nearby, regretting that I didn't stay. And then when I came out of the restroom, there you were, and you and me and Ken hung out for a little bit. And I realize going to Subway isn't very exciting to most of you, but when you've just had a baby, sometimes even going to Subway is a little bit exciting.
Rattle, rattle, rattle.
Baby? Rattle, rattle, thundercloud, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the Car X, man.
So, yeah. So then I hung out with the... With Carrie and Ken for a little bit, and then we all went home.
So what else is going on in your life?
Well, we've been going for 30 minutes now, so why don't we put a song break in here?
Okay.
And then I'll talk more about my life.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to remember what the outline said. What do we have coming up first?
Whoa. Better think of something to say quick so we can cut to a break. Cut to commercial.
All right. Well, here's the first song break, which I believe has the most recent sketch by Cirque du Soleil, which was posted at the FUMP, as well as another piece that I can't remember, you know. So, you know, I'm so glad that I put all this effort into figuring shit
Shut
out ahead
up.
Of time.
Shut up. God.
All right. Here's Things.
How about a total 180?
Okay.
From that.
I pulled one, why not?
There is, I don't think there's anything that...
Up, down, sideways.
This is... Now? Now?
You know my girl... Now? Oh. Yeah. You know my girl just called me up. And she woke me from my sleep. You should have heard the things she said. You know she hurt my feelings deep. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog?
A dog.
Why?
Why? 'Cause I need a friend now.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you.
I'm gonna buy me a dog. My girl don't love me no how. Don't ruin my song, man. It's the only song I got.
So already ruined, you know.
Oh, where's the verse? She used to bring me my newspaper.
Because you didn't know where it was at.
Because she knew where it was at. She used to keep me so contented. But I can teach a dog to do that. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
You can't teach a dog to that. You can only train elephants.
'Cause I need a friend now.
Need a friend now.
Now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog, here over, final spot.
A dog, here boy. My girl, my love, we know how. One,
two,
three.
One, two, three,
four, five, six, seven.
Hike!
Hike!
Hike! I was late on that one.
Hell yeah.
I was just got back from Africa, you know. I was playing cards with the natives.
Oh, Zulus?
Now we usually won.
Gee, I wish I had a glass of water.
Why, you thirsty?
No, I want to see if my neck leaks. I'd buy a raccoon, but John already has one.
$35.
Where do I come in? I'm gonna buy me a dog. Dog, a dog.
Yeah.
Cause I need a friend now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Boop, boop, shabab, bob, ramalap. I'm gonna buy me a dog. Let's see, my girl don't love me no how. How now, brown cow? Yes, sir, I think I'm gonna buy me a dog. I'm gonna buy me a dog. If I was looking for the word to describe what I'm gonna buy, I think dog would be the word.
Be dog?
Yes, it would be dog.
Be dog.
Definitely dog. It would come springing from my lips. Dog.
Yeah, springing.
Boing, 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 boing.
Can they turn it off then? Can they turn it off and let us out, please? Yeah, they're coming to take us away. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho, hee. Davy Jones.
I like monkeys.
Shut up, brat.
Okay.
Language tape number 6. A beginner's introductory primer to talking like Shoebox of Worm Quartet. The basis of Shoebox's language, or hyper non-Bulgarian super hyper ultra wonderspeak, is centered around the concept of incessant greeting. For example, when meeting someone for the first time, the formal greeting is used.
Hi!
Now you try it.
Hi.
No, I'm afraid that's very bad. You'll have to be shot. Would anyone else like to try?
Hi!
Yes, very good. Here, have a squid.
All right! This is going straight up my nose!
Now then. When greeting a friend whom one has not seen in many years, the less formal, familiar form of the greeting is used.
Hi!
Now you try it.
Hi!
Very good, but not quite good enough to be deserving of additional squid.
Son of a...
When greeting a friend whom one has not seen in several days, the formally familiar masculine form of the greeting is used.
Hi!
Now you try it.
Am I going to get a squid this time?
No, you're going to get shot.
Ah!
Would anyone else like to try?
Hi!
Much better, but we're all out of squid at the moment. For more squid, why not visit your local library?
Awesome!
Now, when greeting a friend whom one has not seen in several minutes, or in as few as possibly 17 seconds, the quasi-familiar, formally feminine, inversely semi-passive form should be used.
Hi!
Now you try it.
Hi!
Fucking excellent. Remember that the proper accentuation of the syllables is absolutely vital in order for your words to be correctly interpreted by a native Shoebox speaker such as Shoebox. Mispronunciation can have disastrous consequences, as illustrated in the following scene at a stapler enthusiast convention.
Hi!
Hi.
Really? Well, okay, I've got a blender right here. Pull down your pants.
In addition, proper grammar when speaking Shoebox is vital. All punctuation marks must be announced as obnoxiously as possible, using the term damn it. Consider the following scene at Eddie's redundant food hut.
I'd like a crouton sandwich and some mashed potatoes with tater tots, damn it.
Now you try.
Eddie's Redundant Food Hut?
Yes, you've never been? They have a marvelous beef burger on whole meat bread with beef, exquisite tomatoes and ketchup, fantastic cream of milk soup, and a great pita in a pita in a pita in a pita in a pita.
I don't remember what I was supposed to say now.
Oh. Well, then I suppose it wouldn't be fair to... Oops, sorry about that. I thought I saw a puppy. Anyway, you should now be speaking Pigeon Shoebox. Be sure to pick up language tape number 7, Advanced Shoebox Speak, when we will learn how to combine the skills we've learned on this tape.
Hi, damn it!
And language tape number 8, when we will discuss the correct way to obnoxiously mention nipples at least twice in every sentence.
Hi, my nipples are all nippled with nipply nippleness, damn it!
And don't forget to pick up language tape number 9, how to speak fluent Luke Ski in emergency situations.
Help! I'm on fire! By the way, my CDs are for sale at my merch table in the back for only $15! Don't forget to sign up on my emailing list at lukeski.com! Ah, it burns! Is it good? No! Ah, God! Ah!
Oh, welcome back. We just listened to...
Myself and Power Salad singing our Filk Room cover version of Gonna Buy Me a Dog by the Monkees. done at Marcon. And then we heard How to Speak Shoebox by Cirque du Silhouette from our new album, Stupid Cowboy Thing, Volume 2, Additional Squid, which is available at CirqueDuSilhouette.net and BaconNipples.com.
The sketch that term additional squid is in is playing because it was on the Fump, right? And Josh was listening to it, and it was making him laugh. And then he said something about, you don't want additional squid to me. Oh, something additional about my life. I was going to mention that you, one of the times you were here helping me, and you were going to watch the baby while I went to the pharmacy or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, you know, if he's still asleep, you can do this chore or that chore, but if he wakes up, you know, and starts crying, then don't worry about the chores. And you're like, yes, I realize that the baby is more important than things that are not the baby. And I've had that sentence kind of stuck in my head so that when he cries, I can try to rush to his side and not let him cry for too long, because... it's true. Things that are the baby. The baby is more important than things that are not the baby.
Well, before we move on to my part, I think we should acknowledge what happened when I walked in your house today. I walked in hearing Carrie speaking, and I wasn't quite sure if she was talking to me, although she did say hi to me in some form. But basically, you were talking directly to Alex's face and making up rhymes.
Yes, because... he wasn't content anymore with me reading Dr. Seuss, but he likes that Dr. Seuss style of rhyme, so I had to pick him up and let him look at my face, and since I couldn't read a book while I'm looking at his face, I had to make up a Dr. Seuss style rhyme on the fly.
Well, I think it's time for some postnatal freestyling from Carrie Dalby.
But it's not natural. He's busy eating. He doesn't care what I talk about right now.
Well, you need to do some right now, though. Just give us a couple of lines so that they can hear the type of thing you were talking about.
Trying to get that meter back in my head. Can I see the Sneetches book so I can remember how to...
Well, it was kind of like, you know, there is Buffy looking outside. She would like to go for a ride. It was kind of like that.
Yeah. He's putting me on the spot and making me improv, Alex. Uncle Luke is here. He has a Zen player. He is holding it in my face, and he is not a mare. There are cards on the table we're gonna look at later. We're gonna talk about them, and maybe there'll be a gator drawn on them. I like drinking Diet Pepsi. It is really tasty. I like baby Alex. I like him quick and hasty. Is that good enough for
yes,
you?
Yes, that's good enough.
Okay.
Because you were doing it for an extended period of time.
And if I couldn't think of a rhyme, I'd just make up a word just to keep the flow going for Alex's entertainment. Because I've learned that every time he cries doesn't mean, you know, that he's hungry and that he has to be nursed again after a half freaking hour, that sometimes he's just bored. So I've had to get better at entertaining the baby. He loves Dr. Seuss already.
Reminds me of a couple rap songs. One, of course, is the Humpty Dance, where he goes, I get stupid. I shoot an arrow like Cupid. I'll use a word that don't mean nothing, like Loop did.
Yeah.
But then it also reminds me of the more obscure song, Cole Lampin' with Flavor, by Public Enemy, in which I haven't researched this. I don't know if Flavor Flav improvised this entire song or if he wrote it in advance, but it certainly was meant to feel like it was improvised. One of the things went... If I remember the lyrics correctly, it goes, I got Magna Brown, Shoesky Voluski, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You can put that in your don't know what you said book. Took yuck look wook nook. And then he goes on with the song. And when I first heard that in, like, God, it had to have been, you know, 91, 92 at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that song was several years old by then, but I thought that was hilarious. So one of my notebooks I wrote down in one of my, you know, notebooks of stuff, of legend, became titled the Don't Know What You Said book.
Oh, isn't that a line in something that you wrote?
I may have used that somewhere.
I feel like it was on, you know, a Forgotten Fish Heads or something.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, it was... Because I did a parody of that with Ray doing from our Ray TV thing. Yeah, because I think I played it on a recent episode of Bad Rapport. Because Ray had this thing where he would pretend to be the actor John Carradine, who was the father of famous actor David Carradine, who is, and I think they're both dead at this point. But he would pretend to be John Carradine, and he would be like, you know, I'm an old man, I'm old. I was on the show, my fingers are gnarly. You know, I played Dracula. I was in Dracula versus Billy the Kid, and I was Dracula, and I'm old. And he would just kind of ramble on
that
like
that.
That
was on Killgill.
Yes.
Something that was played during Killgill, I should say.
So basically, when he was doing that bit and just rambling on and on, I just thought it would be funny to do, instead of doing Public Enemy, Cole Lampin, Flavor Flav, Cole Lampin, that we could do John Carradine, Cole Lampin. So I wrote this bit based on the 13th episode of Ray TV, something that happened in there, and we recorded it at the studio with Ray. Mm-hmm. And then it ended up on the Forgotten Fish Heads things. So,
pardon me.
So, if you weren't holding a baby, I would have the right to hit you since you were belching on the podcast.
I'm a woman. You don't have the right to hit me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot how incredibly dainty you are. Dainty, dainty, dainty.
Maybe I am dainty.
Cole Lampin with dainty. Anyway, let's get to the part where I talk about things. So,
as long as I'm Queen Dainty.
Yes, you are the Queen of Dainty. Carrie is the Queen of Dainty. I should probably not do this voice very loudly next to a child that's clamped to your booby.
He's not gonna bite. He doesn't have teeth yet.
Might freak him out, though.
He's fine.
So, anyway. What's going on in Luke's life? Well, on April Fool's Day, went out to have dinner with my mom as our week before Easter get-together. And when I got out there, I found out my mom, I asked her to make a DVD of the VHS tape of the 8mm animated films I had made as a kid. And she did indeed do that, but she also went the extra mile to, apparently somehow, she had a copy of Ray TV episodes 12 and 13, which were titled Ray TV Movie and Ray TV the 13th Bobby's Revenge. And she put both of those on DVD as well. So I was able to rip those into my computer. So I actually watched both of them just before MarCon. And it's so weird because simultaneously I want to show people this stuff, but I also don't want to show people this stuff. Because, you know.
You want them to laugh.
Because
you're afraid that they won't.
There's parts that I guarantee people would think are funny. And then there's other parts that are like, either the pacing is really slow or it's just too inside jokey or whatever. But I would love to sit down with TV's Kyle and watch these things. Possibly also Insane Ian. You know, maybe some of the Circus of What guys. But, you know, it was cool to see that stuff. And I actually co-opted some of the clips from that and put them in more little video bits for my live video show that I did at MarCon. So that was very cool of my mom to have done those things. Did some caricature gigs recently, which are good. I have another one coming up on Friday. One was at the Carnival restaurant in downtown Chicago, and that was interesting. One was at a birthday party at a private residence, and I did all these little 8-year-old girls at this birthday party with body and background, so they all got drawn as like a you know, Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird and Princess Bubblegum and Princess Zelda. One of the girls picked Princess Zelda. She didn't even know who Princess Zelda was. So he just thought that Princess Zelda had the prettiest dress and she was holding a sword. So that's why she wanted to go with Princess Zelda. And I did a gig at a place called Blue Eye Creative, which basically they wanted me to do kind of somewhat body and background black and white caricatures of all the people in their office so that they could have the back of all of their new business cards be the caricature.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get a set of all those. But they were really cool. And it was funny because half the people working there are web developers just like Sarah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just kind of like, hey, are you hiring? You know, Sarah could use a job that pays more than her current job.
And doesn't have other things that suck.
Yeah. So, anyway, so those were interesting. Yeah, Marcon I'm going to talk about in a minute. Nerdist Live, we already talked about that. Sarah and I went to C2E2 for 5 or 6 hours on Sunday, mainly just to kind of shop and browse. We didn't see any of the programming, but the dealer's room is a nice dealer's room. I picked up, because last year I met the artist of the rebooted Darkwing Duck comics that Disney did, and I bought his graphic novel of the first 4 issues. So this time around, I bought the next 2 in the series. There's 2 more I need to get. And I met this woman that does artwork for the Muppets comics that have been coming out over the past few years. She didn't have anything new to buy, but because I bought her husband's Darkwing Duck books, she did a drawing of Pepe for me, so that was cool. I bought a couple of t-shirts that are kind of parody Disney-related. And I'm probably going to, well, not super save them, but I'm looking forward to, if I go to Nerdapalooza, wearing them at Nerdapalooza. One is, you know, there's that movie House of 1,000 Corpses that Rob Zombie made? It's Mickey's head done up to be kind of like a parody of the movie poster. It says Mouse of 1,000 Corpses.
Well, you give me a what, paper towel?
Sure. Where are they?
Paper towels are in the kitchen, and that's where the water is, too.
Okay. I am now in the kitchen, acquiring wet paper towels.
Bring it out.
Alrighty. There you go.
We'll edit this out in post. Ha ha ha.
No, I won't. So, and then the other one was a parody of the Clockwork Orange kind of image of the person wearing the derby hat, but it had Mickey ears on it, so it said Clockwork Orlando. So, and I'm very happy to have found John Denver and the Muppets Rocky Mountain Holiday on bootleg DVD. Something that I know I watched when it first aired. And I don't think it ever got re-aired. If it did, it wasn't extensively. But this dude had a DVD bootleg of it. It looks like it got released in England, but I'm assuming it didn't get released in the U.S., because if it had, I would have bought it a long time ago.
Right.
But, yeah, I was trying to guess what year it came out, and I guessed 82 or 83, and then I looked in the back to see it was 82. So it's a 30-year-old Muppet special that... You know, I know for sure I've seen once, so I watched the majority of it the other night, and it was interesting to say the least. I can definitely see why it was less popular than the John Denver and the Muppets A Christmas Together, because it just seemed it was too John Denver-y and not enough Muppety, I guess, for my tastes. But you know me. I'm very happy I can now have it and watch it and see it and own it. And then my brother JT contacted me recently asking if I knew how to find a bootleg copy on DVD of the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Oh, I used to watch that all the time.
And I know I had seen it before, so I told him I'd keep an eye out for it. And when I went to the con, I discovered, lo and behold, there it was again. And I think the people who had been selling them dropped the prices on them significantly because they only wanted $35 for the 13 DVD bootleg set, 94 episodes of Beetlejuice.
Wow.
So I'm going to be making, you know, my own DVD rip copies of those DVDs so that I can, you know, send it to JT and then he'll pay me back for half of it or something like that. But I watched the first episode of the Beetlejuice series that I remember watching, like, back when in the day when they had those preview specials that I have talked about before on the show, the Saturday morning preview, ABC, you know, lineup or whatever, mm-hmm. that they would show on the Friday night before Saturday morning when things premiere. I remember watching the one where they showed the first Beetlejuice cartoon ever, and it was the 24-hour gross-out game show episode, and there's something from that episode that has stuck in my head so long that it ended up being the inspiration of the very end of my song, The Great Luke Ski, mm-hmm. where I'm like, you know, the funniest motherfucker of all time, and then it echoes, time, 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 and it kind of fades out. Mm-hmm. That's based on Beetlejuice saying at the end of that game show, you know, I'm the grossest of all time, time. It's like, just mm-hmm. this thing that's stuck in my head is always sounding really cool. So anyway,
obscure facts about Luke's key songs.
Yeah, well, that's why people are listening to this dumb podcast.
Hey, it's not dumb. It's been described as adequate.
Yes. So anyway, so that was nifty and all. Sarah and I, sorry for yawning so much. Sarah and I bought a new couch, which will be delivered tomorrow, so I'm very happy about that.
You said it's a couch made of comfy.
Yes, because the couch we currently have is very wide, but it's very low to the ground, and I've always felt it was uncomfortable, you know.
Yes.
It's like in order to sit on the couch and, you know, somewhat feel comfy, I have to have at least one or two pillows underneath my left arm as I kind of lounge sideways
I'm
on it.
I'm surprised I could ever get off it when I was pregnant.
Yeah. So so this couch happens to have on either end of it, it's, you know, kind of a three section sofa, but each of the two ends has the reclinery thing, which is which makes me really happy because I'll finally be able to, like, now that at night I have those headphones I wear so that when Sarah goes to bed, I can stay up and watch TV and the noise won't bother her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sitting on the couch sideways with those headphones on made it hard to get comfortable because if I ever felt like laying down, I couldn't because the big headphones are on my head, you know, and I mm-hmm. couldn't, you know. But now that if I'm going to be in a recliner, I can just have a pillow behind my head to hold my head up and then I'll be able to sit and face the TV and be comfortable and it'll be good.
And fall asleep.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say.
So I'm very happy that...
Oh, and Sarah made me a table
uh-huh.
that for my rented breast pump. So the breast pump that I might as well rent a toothbrush, you know, it now yeah. has its very own table made for it.
Yeah, and the only reason I forgot to bring it is because last night as we were cleaning up the house, I kind of moved it. Like, I'm like, oh, well, if I move this over into this little corner, it'll be a little more out of the way, and I'll put the vacuum in front of it. So I kind of, you know, screwed up my own plans by trying to be efficient last night by getting this slightly out of the way. And then when I went to leave this morning, it didn't pop out to me as, like, this is the thing you're supposed to take with you to Carrie's house. So.
Well, Sarah makes tables because Sarah's fearless.
Yes.
She doesn't fear tables. She doesn't fear plumbing. She doesn't fear sewing. She doesn't fear cooking. She doesn't fear goddamn anything. She's amazing.
Yes.
I idolize her. I want to be more fearless like she is.
Our kitchen faucet has an internal leak, and she asked the handyman who came over the other day to help with potentially putting in the ceiling fans, and he kind of thought that this was a job for a plumber. It was a little more than she could probably handle on her own,
uh-huh.
you know, easily, because we'd probably have to completely remove the sink in order to get at the faucet.
But she's not afraid of little...
Yeah.
Little plumbing jobs.
Yeah. So, okay. I'll mention this now, and whether... by the time I actually get home and post this to the internet, if new news has broken, I will probably, record a new thing and put it at the very beginning of the podcast. So either you've already heard about this, or this is the first time you're hearing about this, but... I have been working on a Kickstarter campaign, the purpose of which is to raise money to buy myself the audio-video rig I have always wanted for performing at conventions. So I have filled out all the forms, I've come up with the prize things for, you know, pledging whatever amounts. I've made a video, it's all loaded into the Kickstarter website, and I've submitted it, so now I am waiting for approval. And my plan was to, as soon as it was approved, you know, launch it and get the thing started. But I may have a reason to hold off on that. I haven't decided yet. I probably won't. I'll probably just go for it as soon as it's available. But, you know, it's something I figured I should at least mention so that people can know, oh, Luke has a Kickstarter coming. You know, I'll, you know, earmark that for future potential money donation thingies, you know. So, yeah, anyway, I'm probably going to have it run for at least 30 days, so people have plenty of time to, you know, potentially donate. But that's coming. So, yeah, that leaves Marcon, which I wanted to try to give a quick rundown of. Let's see, how long is this segment? 20 minutes? Okay. So, kind of look at the schedule here. So, heading out to Marcon, there was apparently a traffic accident on 70 just east of Indianapolis that was so bad that they literally shut down the entire highway.
Wow.
So I had to, you know, at the last second, exit off and find surface, you know, highways, you know, rural country highways in Indiana to take to get over to the border of Ohio. Oh. So that delayed me even further than the delay I already had in leaving. And I was supposed to be there for their opening Filk Jam, which was a beach party-themed Filk Jam, because that was the theme of the convention. So I completely missed that. I was planning on performing Everybody Get Lost at it, and, you know, so that was kind of like epic fail. But Chris and I went to the Open Filk on Friday night, and as I pretty much expected, the Filkers really loved Chris and thought he was epic and awesome because, you know, A, he's closer to their age and has their closer to their sensibilities about music. B, he plays a guitar, you know, and C, he's incredibly talented. D, a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you know, just Chris went over really well. He was nervous that he didn't think people were going to be into him because of, you know, hearing about troubles I've had.
I could have predicted he would go over well in a Filk circle. Mm-hmm.
So Friday night was, you know, a pretty small group, but we were there for at least an hour. Tom was there for a brief cameo. So it was kind of funny on Friday night, because on one side of the Filk circle, it's Chris Mazzaleste, Luke Ski, Tom Smith, and the other side are all the more serious Filky people doing their, you know, serious, you know, operettas about, you know, space people who die and shit like that. You know, and then it comes over to us and it's like, wacky time! So, but everyone had fun. And me and Chris were sharing our hotel room with Ed Locke, a.k.a. Syrinx. And he had a couple other of his friends staying in the room as well. So we had like five people in the room. So it was very good that I brought the air mattress to accommodate all of us. So, because Marcon is now on Easter weekend, the attendance dropped by about 400 people. Normally it's like 1,600. Apparently it was like 1,200 this time around.
Is it forever on Easter weekend now?
For the next for the next few years it is. They moved to Easter weekend.
It's stupid.
I know. They moved to Easter weekend because, from what I heard, Gen Con moved theirs like a week early, which made Origins move theirs to the weekend after Memorial Day weekend, which is when Marcon usually happened. So Marcon was like, oh, we can't have, you know, if we try to have our convention 2 weeks, you know, back-to-back weekends with Origins, you know, we're going to lose tons of people. So the best deal they could make, I guess, was to move to Easter weekend for the next 2 or 3 years.
Hi, Buffy.
So their attendance was down. I think they had only, like, one room party on Friday night, which was Barfleet, and I don't know. I'm kind of getting at that age where, I mean, normally I try to bop around and hit all the room parties just so I can see how, you know, how things are going, but I'm like, oh, there's only one room party, I might as well just, you know, go to bed early and get some rest. Which is, I think, what Chris did, too. So, Saturday, there was a panel called The Future of Filk, which was really interesting because they asked me to be on it. And, you know, the folks running the Filk track is a new set of people compared to people in the past. And these people are more open to people like me and people who are from the FUMP being involved in the Filk scene, you know, at Marcon and at OVFF and stuff like that. So, the panel was me, Tom Smith, and I think, I don't want to mess up the names of the other two that were there, but they're kind of luminaries of the Filk scene. And, you know, it was an interesting discussion, and I actually got some points across that people on the panel actually acknowledged were valid points. So I kind of feel like my mission was accomplished there. And I also, it made me happy because I think so many of the people from that Ohio, Michigan, Philk, you know, sector, you know, have been hearing, you know, other people talk shit about me for so long that they never gave any of my music a chance. But then after hearing me talk about my feelings on Philk and where I fit in and seeing my perspective, some of these people were like, oh, well, you know, now that I know this is what your act is like, I'm going to, you know, go give you a chance. So, you know, when I went to the Philk room that night, on Saturday, I specifically made an effort to perform songs that I thought would show these people, you know, see, I'm not just doing obnoxious hip-hop to piss you off. I can do other things. So I performed, like, Jello Shots and what else? They did some other, couple other tunes that I thought would appeal to them that night. And then that's when me and Chris performed Gonna Buy Me a Dog. Because we were walking through the lobby on Saturday morning, and they had TV Land on, and they were showing the Monkees. So right. So I just kind of said to myself out loud, or I said to Chris, I'm like, we should perform Gotta Buy Me a Dog at the Philk Circle. Like, joking, because I didn't think he'd be prepared for that. And Chris was like, oh, yes, let's do that, for sure, and stuff. So that's what we did, and it came out awesomely. Because, you know, Chris happens to have that song completely memorized, and I already knew how to play it, because he's a goddamn genius. Oh, wait, wrong thing. So, yeah, at 5:30 p.m., I did a panel called Dr. Demento is Still on the Air, the underground comedy music scene. I think that last half of that description got dropped in all of the books, but oh well, it was still the same panel, where basically it was me and Chris, and then eventually Tom Smith, once he showed up, because he completely forgot that he was supposed to be on that panel, and he had one of those mobility carts, so like, we're in the middle of talking about 10 minutes into the thing, and all of a sudden we hear from out in the hallway, like, you know, quietly, but then getting louder, and like he comes rolling in the room on his cart, like honking his little horn. So, but yeah, it was a good panel, and you know, we got to. You know, I think again, it kind of showed people I'm not just this obnoxious hip hop dude that's trying to piss people off. It's like, no, I love Tom Lehrer and Alan Sherman, and you know, there's an awesome, proud history of comedy music.
Tom Lehrer and Alan Sherman more than most of the people in that room, probably.
Yeah, you know, and Stan Freberg and all those guys, and that I'm not just about obnoxious hip hop. I'm about, you know, elevating this art form of comedy music. And of course, at the panel, you know, we promoted the Fump and the Fump Sideshow, and you know, all the usual stuff I'm trying to promote when I do a thing like that, to let people know, like, hey, there's all this cool comedy music stuff happening. There's MarsCon. There's blah, blah, blah. So that went well. Saturday night, I was the judging time entertainment of the Masquerade.
What's wrong?
You okay, guy? And apparently, just before that Dr. Demento panel at 5:30, that's when the people running the Masquerade asked Tom Smith if he would be the MC. So it was like, oh, okay, well, if Tom's going to be there anyway, instead of me doing the 45-minute show I had planned, because I was kind of nervous about it, I decided, well, what if I just cut my set down to the top three songs I want to do, which are Snoopy the Dog, Marvel Poppins, and Fanboy Christmas 3, and then let Tom take the rest of the time, which is what we did, and it worked out freaking great. So,
cool.
You know, and then Tom and I set up a little merch table in the back of the room, because MarCon has since changed their ruling, or their rules, or their whatever the hell, about allowing artists to sell their merchandise at their shows. So, you know, big thumbs up to MarCon for seeing the light on that. I mean, actually, it happened a few years ago, but the fact that it's still in effect today, you know, makes me really happy. So then, Saturday night, yeah, I already mentioned, you know, did the Philk Circle again. It was bigger this time. Chris did some really super obscure old folk songs. Like, he was able to find the lyrics to some weird old folk song I never heard of online on his phone. So he, like, played the guitar, and I held his phone and scrolled with my thumb the lyrics so that he could sing the song. And it was really freaking long. It's so long that he didn't even realize how long it was. And then he's like, okay, well, let's just skip to the end and kind of scroll down to the bottom. And then he did the last few lines and then finished the song.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really cool. And, yeah. So, So on Saturday night, we, Philk Circle, And then basically, again, Chris and I, you know, I was kind of like, all right, well, let's see, it's Saturday night. How many room parties are there? Found out, apparently, there were no room parties on Saturday night. I'm like, are you shitting me? This is MarCon.
Really?
They used to be legendary with the freaking room parties they would have on Saturday night, and there were supposedly none. So me and Chris went back to the room. We turned on the TV, and some local channel had syndicated episodes of Family Guy and Futurama on, and we're like, fuck it. We're staying here, and we're watching TV. We're old, and we don't give a shit. We are not going to go out and try to be, you know, we were in the Filk Room for 2 hours each. You know, we don't need to go out and force ourselves to be social if we don't feel like it. So the next morning, Tom Smith did his concert at 11:30, which, of course, was decently well attended. Keep in mind, again, it's Easter Sunday.
Right.
And he had, I didn't actually count, but he had to have had at least 50 or more people in the room watching his concert. And at one point, he actually performed the song Bacon, the John Denver as a mofo version.
Mm-hmm.
And that surprised the hell out of me, because I don't think I've ever seen him perform that song live before.
Yeah.
So that was cool and interesting. And it was cool to hear people laughing at the jokes in the song that I wrote.
Yeah.
You know, it almost makes me wish that he would have performed it without saying that I wrote it. And then afterwards being like, oh, by the way, Lupski wrote that song.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was cool, and then after his show ended, I would, you know, with the aid of the video projector and screen borrowed from Dark NES of the Gothsicles, I was able to set up a video projection show, and, you know, even though I did do it at MarsCon, and I have done it, you know, in some fashion before, this was, like, kind of my first real test of, like, okay, I'm out here flying solo, I brought a projector and a screen with me, let's see if I can do this. And, you know, I was given a 75-minute concert slot, so the original set list I made on video was going to be, like, an hour and 25 minutes long. So I'm like, crap, I have to cut stuff down. So after I cut it down, I managed to get it to be pretty much exactly a 75-minute long concert.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, with all the little commercial breaks and what's Luke plugging now in there so that I have breaks between the songs to breathe and drink water. So it's like we got the thing set up ahead of time. We figured out how to make the audio and video work, and like when the time came, it was 1 p.m. I hit play on the thing, and it started, and the show happened, and you know, it went decently well. I think I had about 10 or so people in the audience when my show started, and by the time it ended, I think it grew to about maybe 20 to 30-ish. But then again, keep in mind we're talking 1 p.m. on Easter Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I think I did pretty good. A bunch of the new bits, I mean, some of them went over well, some of them didn't go over well as far as, like, my new between song wackiness that I'm trying to see if people are into or if I'm the only one that thinks that these kind of weird gags are funny. But I created some new ones that Chris thought were really funny, and I will be re-showing them when I perform at PinguaCon. So there'll be some new content for all the PinguaCon fans out there. Just overall it went well. I've said this before, it's like some kind of magic trick when I made a plan and then the plan worked, and it's like amazing. Like, oh, holy shit, there was something I wanted to do and I planned for it and then it happened exactly the way it was supposed to. How the fuck did that happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing magic trick. So, you know, it went well, and then Chris went on after me, and unfortunately, he only had about 7 people in the audience for his show, and I felt really shitty about that, but then again, like, it's 2:30 in the afternoon on Easter Sunday. So, you know, but the show, the people who were in the room and saw him doing his act, they really loved his show, and the people running the Filk Track who were in there thought that he was great, so they came up to us afterwards and said, all right, next year we're definitely going to try to get you guys performing your concerts on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which made me feel good, because they're definitely interested in having the Fump come back at next year's MarCon if we can get more people out there. And also, they were interested in possibly doing something at OVFF. I mean, we haven't officially been asked yet, but, you know, they were interested, so we'll see what we can make happen in October. So
Putt didn't go, did he? He used to go to MarCon all the
no,
time. Probably because it's on Easter Sunday weekend, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, even taking away the religion aspect of things, a lot of people who aren't religious use Easter Sunday as an excuse
he's
to get together
religious.
And see their loved ones.
He's not religious either, but you know, his his family always has a big thing, so...
But yeah, both Devo and Chewbacca want to come to Marcon, but they can't because they have kids, and kids like Easter, you know, so...
I mean, and Easter's always on a different weekend, so it's like, it's retarded. Why don't they just... I'm sorry, it's Leo-tarded. Why don't they just pick a weekend and stick with it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there was supposed to be a closing jam filk at the end, but everybody had left. Like, me and Chris Mezzalesta... I mean, I don't know exactly when Tom bugged out, but me and Chris Mezzalesta were kind of the last two filkers standing for the weekend, except for this one woman named Renee, who's in a wheelchair, who I see at most of the conventions, or at least most of the Chicago ones.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, is there going to be a closing filk jam? I'm like, I don't think so. We're pretty much it, and we kind of want to go, because we both have long ways to drive. So Marcon was definitely an experiment. You know, from the Easter standpoint and from some other standpoints that I won't get into.
Well, Chris went over to his son's house in the Cleveland area,
He went to Cleveland, so he was there for a while. And Chris is the new voice of Ruggles Ice Cream, which is a regional ice cream brand in that part of the country.
Well, what is it called?
Ruggles.
Ruggles.
R-U-G-G-L-E-S. And they used to have their... voiceovers done by Lorenzo Music, who was the voice of Garfield, but he passed away several years ago, so now they want to get some new, somebody new, and Chris got the job, so it's a really cool, lucrative job for him.
Yeah.
So yay, Chris. And I should also plug, I didn't even think about this until I was on my way here after I'd already picked what songs were going to be in this episode, that he has his new album out, Love with a Side of Fries, which I can highly recommend.
I would like a free copy.
Powersalad.com.
Because I'm on it.
You just ask him. I'm sure he'll send you one. He was like, Luke, you didn't need... I bought one at MarsCon. He's like, you didn't have to buy a copy of it. I'm like, Chris, how much work have you done for me for free for freaking years? You know, if I appeared on the album, I'd feel a bit more, you know... in the position to be like, okay, Chris, can I have a free copy of this? But since I wasn't on the album, you know, I felt it was only fair for me to pay for it. But mm-hmm. since you did significant vocal work on the album, I'm sure he would be happy to send you one.
Song. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it was, you did a crap load of work on that song.
It wasn't that hard.
So in a future episode, we'll play some more tracks from it to help promote Chris. So, okay, that wraps up my Marcon discussion. And so by the way, if you're interested to find out where Luke and other members of the Thump are performing, but especially Luke, you could, you know, sign up for my emailing list. You could look at my website. You could follow me on Twitter. You could follow me on Facebook. You could go to see the posts I post at Rec Music Dementia. You could go to see the posts
you
I post
post
at...
That?
Yes, I do.
Do people still read that?
So, a handful. You can see the posts I put up at the Mad Music Archive. The point being that there's like at least 10 or so different places that I regularly plug the places I'm performing, and especially...
Spit up attack.
I got it. Here we go.
Every time he burps, I think it's spit up, and every time he spits up, I think it's a burp.
Here we go, buddy. So, yeah, the point is that, if there's the conventions I perform at, and especially the ones where multiple Thump artists are going to be there, I promote them heavily at about a dozen different places online that you can get to easily or follow easily. So, you know, if you didn't know about Marcon, it wasn't my fault. The thing I am known for the most is being a crazy promotional bastard, you know? More than Bacon, more than the Muppets, more than other things that people attribute to being Lukeski related, Luke being a promotional son of a bitch is the top of the list. So, you know, just follow me, sign up for my emailing list. It's at thegreatlukeski.com. That's the best way to, you know, keep up with what I'm up to. Anyway, we have more things to talk about, but there's news, maybe. And you have a baby still.
Did you regurgitate my own bodily fluids back onto me? Here, have this back, Mommy. I'm done with it.
Well,
what do we have? What did you say we had? I wasn't listening.
Well, you know, coming up will be News of the Stupid, and then we'll talk about more things. But for right now, I'm going to play two songs in a row that are both on the main page of the Thump right now. One is by Scooter Picnic, and the other is by Devo Spice featuring Worm Quartet.
See if you can figure out the relationship between these two songs.
Yes, as a new meme is born. So, we'll be right back after this message from Scooter Picnic.
Always know me as insane Ian, that weird little gamer, nerdy human being. I'm kind of funny looking with real big hair, and I'm recognizable by my buggy-eyed stare. I'm quick with a joke and to make you laugh. I'm okay at rapping but terrible at math. Can't really draw, never really could. Just because I can polka doesn't mean I should. But one day I encountered a terrible obscenity, had my own case of mistaken identity. I had a pic of me taken at a con, but the tag on Facebook got the name wrong. Now folks who do what I do all have goofy names, and because we like Weird Al, our voices kind of sound the same. The guy I was mistaken for his unique style. He lives in California and his name is TV's Kyle. Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Is this Kyle I'm seeing? I know it's been a while, but Kyle, are you Ian?
And Ian, are you Kyle? Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Is it Ian I'm seeing or some other human being? Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
I'm not saying that there's no similarity between Ian and I, but there's plenty of disparities. I know that we're both dementia acts, but Ian does parodies, and I would never do that. Ian is known to write video game reviews. I just play him, and I usually lose. I'm really into Tezuka and Spyro and Fantasio. Possibly he'd like him, but I don't think Ian has heard of those. Ian's got a dog, and I got two cats. Ian's relatively thin, and I'm relatively fat. Ian's more outgoing, not that I'm a wallflower, but in front of a mic, Ian commands the world's power. Ian is the world's biggest President's fan. I mean, I like him too, but holy crap, man. Ian wears shorts and I never do that. He can actually rock a backwards hat.
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Is this Kyle I'm seeing? I know it's been a while, but Kyle, are you Ian?
And Ian, are you Kyle? Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Is it Ian I'm seeing or some other human being? But Ian, are you Kyle?
And Kyle, are you Ian? Now this little quandary has invaded my laundry. Kyle has all my shirts, I remember them fondly.
I use them as rags to wash my ditches, cause they fit kinda off by a few dozen inches.
I'm suddenly drawing Kyle's webcomic now.
I'm on the East Coast, though I don't know how.
Could it be that we have finally switched places?
I'm afraid that it looks like that's what the case is. Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Is this Kyle I'm seeing? I know it's been a while, but Kyle, are you Ian?
And Ian, are you Kyle? Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Ian, are you Kyle?
Kyle, are you Ian?
Is it Ian I'm seeing or some other human being, but Ian, are you Kyle?
And Kyle, are you Ian?
Often know me only as you, but my one-man band can rock Dr. Crew. Sucks as God, Worm Quartet, and I do synth-punk comedy. I toss out sweat like I toss out harmonies. Lyrically, I'm equally nonsensical and brilliant. Sometimes it's not political, sometimes a Wookiee really ran atop the company charts for whatever that's worth. And I won't rest until I've mentioned every nipple on Earth. I got a giant grin that some people find alarming, and hair so damn long that I don't need charming. I tend to be remembered by the people that I'm eating, by the ones who run screaming when they see me in the street. So that's why I tend to think that it's a little weird when I'm mistaken for a ginger-headed rapper with a beer. The demon steps on a Val and Sherman and Vanilla Ice. He lives in Jersey for some reason, and his name is Devo Spice. Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
I'm suddenly recording Dukes of Hazzard on my Devo. So Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
But she was just a toddler. My daughter called you Two-Box. So Shoebox, are you Devo?
And Devo, are you Shoebox?
Fear Shoebox and I appear to lead the same lives, although thankfully we don't appear to need the same wives, because we each have a wife where our partner should belong, although they both will be pissed for this mention in the song. We each had a mullet and now they're both gone. I chop my hair short, Shoebox let his grow long. We've been on Dr. Demento show a pile of times, and we both can write code that both compiles and rhymes. He can sing Freebird and I can barely hum it, and he drinks coffee like he thinks the blood is made from it. I've eaten lots of cheeses that were covered in ants. I'm pretty sure he'd never do that even if he had the chance. Shoebox is the world's biggest Pac-Man fan. I mean, I like it too, but holy crap, man, his mommy is broken, mine is doing just fine, and there's never been a guy named Frank in any band of mine.
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
I don't think you are, but I guess you might be, though.
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
There's few words that rhyme with Devo and fewer that rhyme with Shoebox, so this chorus is gonna suck.
Yeah, it really is.
Hello, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. But we both emulate Atari gloriously.
We both reproduced within about 5 months.
Except I did it 3 times.
I only had to do it once, then I had a vasectomy.
Well, I had 2, twice the price, twice as nice, and twice as neutered as you.
Hey, ouch, dude, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. Can you imagine how much longer Dr. Stop would be?
I went to RIT.
Dude, I live next door.
I co-hosted friggin' here.
I did that in 04. I wrote most of this verse.
I helped out with an edit.
I wrote most of Inner Voice.
And I took most of the credit.
Wait, what's going on?
Why do I feel wrong?
Why is my PDP so manly?
Why is my hair so freaking long? Did we just switch places like the scooter picnic thing?
Holy crap, I can rap.
And I can almost sort of sing.
Hey.
I'm sitting in a cubicle.
Yeah, so am I.
I've got way too much to do.
Yeah, same here, guy.
My desk is freaking filthy.
Yeah, I'm feeling your pain.
Hey, that's a picture of my wife.
Dude, I can explain.
Wait, look out the window.
Sweet Shatter's toupee. I'm living in New Jersey.
I'm in Rochester. Yay.
Dude, I've never heard anybody say those words together.
I can pump my own gas. I hope this dream lasts forever. Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
Devo, are you Shoebox?
Shoebox, are you Devo?
It looks like everybody in the funk has gone wonky, so Devo, are you Shoebox?
Hey, Steve, are you Sea Monkey? Rubber, are you Spaff?
Carla, are you Carrie?
Jeff, are you Raymond?
Dude, this is getting scary.
I think Chris is Super Horse and Luke is shouting, Doyle! So, Shoebox, are you Devo?
And Ian, are you Kyle?
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com, reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me to chew a criminate.
For the sake of baby-related convenience, we don't have slickly written, jokey news of the stupid this week. We just have a few stories that we found that we are reading. So, if jokes come to my brain improvisational-like, we will include them.
But we're still going to do the theme song, aren't we?
Yes.
So is that during this conversation or is that before, after this conversation?
What? I'll figure it out later.
Okay.
So first story. Fleeing bus driver takes Vietnam cop on a wild ride. In Hanoi, Vietnam, from the AP, a Vietnamese traffic cop went on a wild ride in Hanoi, clinging to the windshield wipers of a moving bus for nearly a kilometer, 0.6 miles. After the rogue driver tried to avoid a ticket, police said Friday. Traffic Police Second Lieutenant Nguyen Man Phan ordered the bus driver to pull over the 39-seat passenger coach Monday, said a police officer in Ba Vi District outside Hanoi. The officer spoke on condition of anonymity, citing policy. The driver allegedly refused to show his paperwork and drove off, but not before Phan leaped onto the front, he added. The officer said the bus reached a top speed of about 50 kilometers per hour, which is 31 miles per hour. A video shot by one of Phan's fellow police officers shows the officer trying to get his footing and dangling precariously from the moving bus as oncoming traffic whizzes past. Phan can be heard yelling, "Call the police." The driver, Fung Hong Fuang, eventually pulled over after being chased by police and residents. Even with the bus stopped, Phan stood calmly in front of it, still hanging on to the wipers. Phan was arrested for allegedly acting against public officials, an offense that carries a maximum 3-year prison sentence, the officer said. He previously served nearly 4 years in prison for a fatal traffic accident and was released in 2010. So...
sounds like the Vietnamese Teen Wolf.
He's hyphy. All right.
Wellington, New Zealand. A cathedral made from cardboard. The idea may sound flimsy, particularly given that cathedrals tend to be known for their solid presence, the flying buttresses, the soaring domes, the Gothic grandeur. But in the earthquake-devastated city of Christchurch, Anglican leaders believe it will... in New Zealand, I believe. Anglican leaders believe it will deliver both a temporary solution and a statement about the city's recovery. On Monday, they announced plans to build a 25-meter, 82-foot-high cathedral constructed with 104 tubes of cardboard. The structure will be a temporary replacement for the iconic stone Christ Church Cathedral, which was ruined last year in an earthquake that killed 185 people and destroyed much of the downtown. The Reverend Craig Dixon, a church spokesman, said the temporary cathedral would seat 700 people, cost up to $5 million New Zealand dollars, and would be used for 10 years while a permanent replacement is designed and built. The Japanese architect, Shegruban, has used cardboard as material for other temporary buildings, including a paper church, which used a community center after, the 1995 Kobe earthquake in Japan. Dixon said he hopes construction can begin within about 6 weeks and be completed by the end of the year. I think this building has the potential to become an icon in its own right, he said. I think it will be greatly loved for a long time. Joke. It's my job to read. It was your job to think of a joke.
All of the patrons of the church will be baptized and corrugated. Okay. Modesto, California. A California weightlifter says he accidentally shot himself by dropping a dumbbell on a bullet. The man was wounded in the shoulder. He told Modesto police officers he was lifting dumbbells in his home Wednesday night when he dropped one on a .22 caliber bullet. The man's name hasn't been released. Modesto police investigators say the man's story is suspicious but not impossible. Officer Chris Adams tells the Modesto Bee that impact on the rim of the bullet could have caused it to fire. Officers did not find a gun but did find the shell casing. Neighbors did not see anyone leaving the man's home. So tune in for the next episode of Mythbusters where dumbbells drop dumbbells on bullets.
That guy's a dumbbell who doesn't shoot straight.
Okay, and finally,
Paris, France. Paris police say they've seized some rather unusual contraband, around 13 tons of mini Eiffel Towers. Police official Pierre Corrick says a Paris souvenir shop owner, her husband, and her son also were arrested in the weighty trinket seizure Friday. The three are accused of selling the mini towers at tourist shops, including the Louvre and the actual Eiffel Tower, without a permit. The operation, led jointly by French Customs, Social Security, and the Police Transport Division, followed several months of surveillance of the souvenir shop. Police say the boutique illegally rakes in some 1 million euro, otherwise $1.31 million, per year. If 13 tons seems like a heavy load, it pales in comparison to the real Eiffel Tower, which weighs in at 11,100 tons.
So, you know, once they get out of prison, they'll just take all that stuff to Vegas, where there's another Eiffel Tower. Yay!
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
You have 13 tons, and what do you get? Some time in jail and another baguette.
This has been News of the Stupid and Bad French Accents. So apparently he wanted to nurse for like 30 seconds so that he could fall asleep there. And if I put my boob away entirely, then he's going to wake up. So that's why I'm just holding it like this.
Well, shall we attempt to look at boob tree cards from this precarious position?
Sure, I have a boob out. Why not?
Okay.
He's also wearing a boob tree related onesie.
Yes.
It says Mr. Scribbles versus Catboy.
So let's see.
That I made at my main baby shower.
So I'll just place the Zen player on his tummy. That was a joke.
You're like, no, actually, that was serious, but I was waiting to see the look on your face.
I'm trying to figure, well, I guess I'll just pull the table closer and put the Mikey thing on the table. Because I need two hands in order to show you the boob tree cards. Okay, so MarsCon, which was a while ago now, there was the massive boob tree game. So
yeah, that's all. Hell of a lot of cards.
So I guess we're just going to go through them and hope that this isn't in any way entertaining.
Maybe we could pick out, like, you could pick out ones that were
actually
more memorable.
Why don't we do this? Give me a second. I'm going to grab my notebook.
Oh, you're going to, like, make notes of which ones were funnier and then edit it?
Exactly.
Okay,
smart.
But then you're going to leave this part in.
Yes. I'll leave this part in so that people know what the hell we're doing.
All right.
You know, there's like, you know, a dozen, or there's at least a dozen different boob tree sets of cards here, and I'm assuming not all of them are going to elicit podcast-level hilarity, so
we'll take a lot of time to go through all of them.
So I'll make note
of... Not to mention, it's a visual it's a visual joke for an audio medium.
Yes.
So
the ones that we leave in the edit, I'll scan and put online so people can go look at them.
Okay.
All right, so Brig Manzi started off with, "Get the cat snot off the library floor." Then there's a drawing of what appears to be lots of books on shelves and a stick figure of a cat.
Somebody must have been thinking about Willow.
Yeah. So, a cat drooling in the cereal aisle, which I can tell is Lindsay's handwriting, so next is probably an awesome drawing from Kyle. Yes, I was right.
Oh, God.
An awesome drawing by TV's Kyle of a cat standing in the cereal aisle drooling. I'm writing this one down.
That's incredible. Yes, definitely write that one down.
All right, so Captain Nova started this one with, R2-D2 lives in my butt.
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly. So,
Lindsay?
Lindsay with an excellent drawing of Shoebox from behind, turning around and facing them with his butt sticking out, pointing at his butt, and out of his butt comes beep, boop, wee, boop. Which leads to Kyle having written the next phrase, which is, Shoebox has R2-D2 in his butt. Very astute there. Sad bunnies, the teacups fly away. Which looks like a very angry thing that may or may not be a bunny.
That and then a looks teacup. Like someone very drunk drew that.
Yeah. Batman really hates water cans. So look at this again.
What?
Batman really hates water cans. So this was drawn by Brian from the Gothicals. This was Mike's response. Batman really hates water cans. And then look what I drew.
Okay.
So I drew Batman with a gun, which hardcore Batman fans know, if Batman is using a gun, he's really pissed because he hates guns because his parents were shot. So, Batman using a gun to blow away an entire store shelf full of water cans. Which leads to Batman blows away watering cans with a gun. So, yes. Is this potato is from Idaho? Question mark.
Okay.
So, we have Lindsay with an excellent drawing of some kind of man looking oddly at a potato that has glamorous hair, sunglasses, and a mini skirt on, as
that,
if...
That should be our image.
So basically, kind of a...
It's so cute!
Kind of a glamorous Hollywood potato as opposed to an Idaho potato.
Yes.
So...
A
stick figure approaching a house with something that may or may not be a rocket dog. So, hey neighbor, come over and see my new mechanical farting anteater.
That's awesome. Lindsay is very good at this game.
And then here comes Kyle's drawing of that. Hey neighbor, come over and see my new mechanical farting anteater.
Write this one down.
That's awesome.
This one's gonna definitely have to be on there.
Armless Joseph tries to slam dunk. Stick figure with no arms looking sad with some kind of ball next to him and a hoop and he can do nothing. So, yeah, that leads us to No Arms Man Cannot Play Basketball, which, and that's Lindsay, so let's see what Kyle drew.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Man with no arms with a zero on his jersey, which begs the question, how is the jersey being held up if he has no arms? Looking down at the basketball and just saying, damn it.
You can have shoulders without having arms.
Nurses spy on me while I shower. which leads to drawing by Kyle. of several nurses blankly standing around staring at some guy who's in the shower, who has a very WTF look on his face.
Nice.
Kitty Sue, which is Susan, wrote, What is Luke plugging now? What is Luke plugging now?
We'll have to sing it that way.
Yes.
When we get to that.
Aspect
and
in
now what are we playing?
And now we are playing Cartoon Planet is back, bitches. So we got Brack, we got Zorak, we got Awesome Song, so we're going to start with that. And then a song from the soundtrack to A Mighty Wind, because I've been trying to listen to music from before 2004 to get my hyperspasm project going. And then a track by Adam Warrock. He did a 3-song EP in tribute of Adult Swim called Full Brack. So here are those tracks right now.
This is the pizza song. The pizza, pizza, pizza song. This is a song about pizza. All about pizza. Pizza, 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 pizza. This is the pizza song. This is the pizza song. I said that this is a pizza song. When I sing a pizza with lots of pizza, then you know you heard the pizza song. Pizza song, it's a pizza song. Pizza song, pizza, pizza. I sing a pizza, yeah, yeah. Cause it's a song of a pizza, yeah, yeah. Hey there, your pizza song. You claim the glory, it's a pizza song. When it looks like a pizza, it smells like a pizza, then you know you heard a pizza song. Bum, bum, bum. Hey, DJ, pizza, the pizza song of a pizza. I love a pizza song of a pizza. Pizza is pizza when you make it up. Then you let it cool down and eat. How many times can I mention pizza when I am singing a song of a pizza? Pizza, pizza song. Oh, pizza, 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 pizza. Pizza, pizza, pizza. Hope you like my little pizza song. Bum, bum, bum. Hey! Ah!
Come on, boys. Potatoes in the paddy wagon. Gotta get her out of there. Come on, boys. Potatoes in the paddy wagon. Mama says it just ain't fair.
One night, Mama went to fetch us up. A sweet potato fell down the cellar stairs.
Stork dropped in while she was on the floor, so my sister was born down there.
Daddy said this and will be nothing but a misery. Never will be worth a damn.
But Mama just loved her little sweet potato baby with her face like a parboiled yam.
Come on, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Gotta get her out of there. Come on, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Mama says it just ain't fair.
Potato grew up to be as pretty as a peach in her calico and honey yellow curls.
Went to the apple cider ball at the armory with all the other ripe and ready girls.
Sheriff and Pike picked potato for the polka, but she's burning with a fiddly-dee.
And before she could turn around and find another partner, Sheriff took her into custody.
Come on, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon, gotta get her out of there. Come on, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon, Mama says it just ain't fair.
Mom and Daddy put together quite a little posse, counting me and Jack and Cousin Will.
We all hopped into the old Chevy pickup and we caught him at the top of the hill.
Daddy took his Remington and shot away the lock for to set his little darling free.
But Potato said,
Daddy said the goddamn door, Sheriff wants to marry me.
Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon, guess we better leave her there. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon, Mama says it's more than fair. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Guess we better leave her there. Let's go, boys, potatoes in the paddy wagon. Mama says it's more than fair. Mama says it's more than fair. Mama says it's more than fair.
A jolly spot, and people call me Bud. I live down in the mud with all the other tubers.
Top that, gentlemen.
They say, never go full brass on the track. Never lose your intelligence.
spit the simple rap. And I'll do it a little bit in a simple way too. Maybe sing a little tune just to entertain you.
Hey yo, I didn't really know what to do about this rap track, so I'm just gonna rap a little bit, is that cool? Alright, check it out.
Born in the boondocks with moral oral sentiments. In a children's hospital, me and my brothers venturing. Hot blonde shapes, my life set in effect. Eagle heart, Adam's like the leader of men. So best to call the CIA, FBI, PD, the NTSF, SDSUV. Cause I appeal to sprint billies like I do to big cities. And they say I'm tight, bro, so it's best to rock with me. My raps is old movies in sound form with Pro Tools. Steady for your health like my name's Steve Rule. You may think it's cool cause I finished law school, but I rap like it's absurd, man, Harvey Birdman. But now I'm in the trenches and the business been slow. When I'm on the radio yelling whiskey tango or frisky dingo, cause I rap like I'm an extricle. When I'm on the stage, turn the show into a spectacle. Much love, Lucy, you're the daughter of the devil, but I hate you, Lucy, still I never wanna let you go. And no matter where I fit in, I stick together pop culture and rap form like Robot Chicken. And I do a great job like Tim and Eric do, and they're like awesome show, and I'm like, yo, I know, dude. Don't have to disguise my voice like delocated. Down to rip their masks, I'll see their whole faces. Yo, these other rappers, it's like Assy McGee. And sometimes I think I'm different cause I'm on minority. But you know my game is not a gimmick or a simple test. No, I'm not some fat guy stuck on the internet. I'm not a meme generator. Rather I rap about the things I wanna rap about, and I accept the haters. Cause nowadays mainstream is gonna hold form. Me, I'm just a Jedi that's stuck in a clone war. Never go full crack on the track. Never lose your intelligence, spit those simple raps. And I'll do it a little bit in a simple way too. Maybe sing a little tune just to entertain you.
What is Lou plugging now? Yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
It's a ride to the dump. And we see Forrest Gump. And there's a cancerous lump. So, okay, here. Would you like to read what's at the fump?
Right now at the fump, you can download for free Black Holes Suck by Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Devo Are You Shoebox by Devo Spice featuring Worm Quartet, How to Speak Shoebox by Cirque du Soleil, Betty Rubble by Steve Goody, Love Theme from The Hunger Games by Jesse Smith, Pepperoni Demons by TV's Kyle, Kyle Are You Ian by Scooter Picnic, and Mad Men World by Money Shot Cosmonauts.
Pepperoni Demons is also a good song. So, yeah, I may or may not have a Kickstarter. Just go to Kickstarter and search for Lukeski, and if you find it, then it's there, and if you don't, then it's not. Lukeski.com store, you can buy Bad Rapport, Best of 2011 CD or MP3. The CD is $10 plus shipping. The MP3 is $4.99, so you can get this 80 minutes worth of highlights from this podcast that make me yawn. So, you know, go check that out if you haven't already. The Dr. Demento Show is an awesome thing that you should listen to. It's at drdemento.com. Feel free to request songs like Pregnancy is Strange by Carrie Dalby.
Yeah.
And other songs, but mainly Pregnancy is Strange by Carrie Dalby.
Yeah, it was number 9 on the last thingy.
Yep. So, you know, it has a decent chance of making the funny 25 if people continue to request it, hint, hint.
Yeah, we'll probably have to hit one more time.
Yep. So, artbylukeski.com is my website for art. You can go there and look at art. I need to update it with newer art, because I haven't put new art there in a couple of years.
Like Chubby Nick.
So, what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
It is halfway between rose and pink.
Okay.
And it has sequins on it, and the segment's not going away, so suck it.
Okay. I didn't say it was. So, I don't know. I don't have any necessarily ignorant stories. There's something I wanted to discuss. I've been putting it off for weeks because every time we get to this part of the show lately, I feel like it's gone on too long. So, that I might just make that a bullet point topic for the middle of the show at some point if we run into things to talk about. So, comments go at the end of the show. So, would you like me to start or would you like to start?
You start.
All right. Captain, this is for episode 61, Unmoistened by Nipples. Captain Nova says, Luke and Carrie, when I heard the news of the stupid bit about the lady texting and falling off the pier, I was laughing my butt off. Carrie, congrats on having a micro person.
So, Wildcard says, no Carrie and Alex and Josh at Deep South Con? Mega pout. But meeting grandparents trumps going to cons. Very nice anime, Luke, Carrie, and Alex, for this podcast.
Talking about the drawing that the fan did of yes. us.
So, the fan, whose name you don't remember? putting you on the spot.
Whitney.
There we go.
I'm pretty sure it was Whitney. Kyle Hudson says, what? 3 question marks? Sleeping through the night at a month old? My earliest of 3 was at 6 weeks. And 1 was 8 months old before he first slept through the night. Not fair.
Well, he doesn't do it every single night. Chuck Williams says, episode 61 was notable for me as the first time I've skipped ahead through any portion of a bad or poor episode. 2 words, ninja rap.
Well, you know, at this point, I think it has novelty, nostalgia, value.
Yes.
But anyway, because, I mean, like I said, I've seen people... I have seen the ninja rap group Crondor Crew at Nerdapalooza do a cover version of ninja rap, and the crowd, like, went apeshit for it. It was awesome. Anyway, Slightly D says, Carrie, point of order. I believe when Josh... Oh, God damn it. I believe when Josh is the only parent with Alex, he's not babysitting, he's parenting. The fake adult thing doesn't go away with a real job or a baby. I still live in fear that someone's going to figure out I have no business having the job I do or being a parent.
Well, to be fair to Josh, I sometimes say babysit about myself as well. It's not a, you know, daddy diss.
So if you have a comment you would like to leave for the show, you can do so by making comments at the website itself, badreport.com. Just click on the comment link for this episode. We can also leave messages on our voicemail line, which nobody did this time around. It's 916-LUKESKI, 916-585-3754. You could also leave us an iTunes review or a star rating, which nobody has done recently. We only have 24 people who have rated us, and I know there's more than 24 of you listening. So if you haven't, take a minute, go over to iTunes and give us a star rating, hopefully in the near 5 range. So
only 24 star ratings. Sad face.
So I guess that's it for this episode. As I said before, I'm going the parts that we edited of the Boob Tree game card reviews, I will put links to those images up at the entry for this podcast so that you can go to badreport.com and see the images we were talking about and laughing about. So we're gonna end the show with a couple of tracks. Another one by Adam Warrock, because Adam Warrock, who's a fast-rising name in the nerdcore music scene, I'm not sure what day job he has, if any, but he seems to, like, sit around and just decide, oh, I'm going to write a 3-song EP and record it and produce it and put it out this week because I have nothing else to do. So he did a 3-song EP in tribute to Adult Swim, which is the, you know, the Brack track was from that earlier. Put him up for free download at his website, adamwarrock.com. He also recently did a 3-song EP about the TV show Parks and Recreation, which was awesome because it's his favorite TV show, and I like that show. So to hear somebody else do rap songs about it, it's like, whoa, it's another Lukeski.
Somebody's doing a song about 30 Rock.
You could do that. So, you know, so he has a 3-song Parks and Rec EP, and this the song I'm playing is the his campaign song for Leslie Knope, who's running for city council this season.
Has nothing to do with that, but you guys should watch the live, like, super ultra livey live 30 Rock on April 26th.
Yep.
At 8:30, 7:30 Central, and then they do another live version for the East Coast, West Coast. The other coast.
So, and then the other song I'm playing is, there's a new song by The Guild. You know, you may know them from Do You Want to Date My Avatar and Game On, which I've played on this podcast. They have a new song, a rock song, called I'm the One That's Cool. So I will close on those two songs. So Until next time, I am Luke.
I'm Carrie, and that's Alex.
And Alex is very content at the moment, drinking all the milk.
Yes.
So, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, yo, if you need somebody to believe in this election season, then I got the woman for you right here. What up, Indiana? Even the politicians and evening news speak of blue, so this party I'm leaving. Economy's the pits, GOP's beefing. Man, we lost the hope that Obama's been preached. So I turn to local office and I look for a spark. And I'm nostalgic for the days I used to play in the parks. That's when I thought I need somebody committed to make a difference. No matter how big or small the issue or the position. City councilmen, state reps, and senators, together we can do it. 2012 and you knew it. Pawnee, it used to be the pits, man. She went kaboom and fixed it, took a stand. So I pick it on the road and I'm holding the line. And you can see it on my lawn, door to door, so you sign the petition to bring a change to your front porch. This is a new year and know that I'll be voting for no. It's like, yes we can, even though we say no. 2012, that's the plan, got me ready to go. Cause if we can't believe in people, then why bother to start? And I believe unless they know from the bottom of my heart. Yes we can, even though we say no. 2012, that's the plan, got me ready to go. She'll eat some, and she never took a job when she had one waiting in Eagleton. Go ask Bert Hackley if he heard the word. It's a grassroots campaign that she'll bring to the world. Because she made the Harvest Festival, she always worked hard. She refused to go negative because of her heart. She never got the silver spoon like Bobby of Sweden's fame. And she'll treat her fellow man like each and the same. Knows your name when she's shaking your hand or saying hi. Got a smile that lights a room up. Change can't come soon enough. Dedicated since the age of 10, and she's been holding down the Parks and Rec division since then. Yeah, so take a stand if you're with us. A new campaign to make us sit up, it's just one that gets us. Maybe a little misty and willing to take a chance. Let's lean on 2012, like to say thank you, man. It's like, yes, we can, even though we say no. 2012, that's the plan, got me ready to go. Cause if we can't believe in people, then why bother to start? And I believe in Leslie Knope from the bottom of my heart. Yes, we can, even though we say no. 2012, that's the plan, got me ready to go. Cause if we can't believe in people, then why bother to start? And I believe in Leslie Knope from the bottom of my heart. Hey yo, my name's Adam Warrock, and I approve of this message. Leslie Knope 2012, baby. I'm the one that's cool.
Listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I am the grossest of all time!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Kickstarter.com! Luke Ski's AV concert rig.